Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We haven't worked together since last Monday, Tony. What's changed in your life?
Tony Kornheiser, I think I'm losing my hair. I mean, do you
notice
that?
Oh, that start Monday?
Am I losing
my hair?
Is
that when that started? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems to be going on a rather rapid basis.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're talking, what, 8 days, 7 days, huh?
Making me very uneasy. I hope it comes back. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Michigan beats Ohio State. Lincoln Riley heads to USC. And the Mets land Max Scherzer. But we begin today with two of the giant franchises over the last 20 years, New England and Green Bay, beating good teams yesterday and beating them convincingly. The Patriots throttled Tennessee 36-17. And the Packers dominated the Rams 36-28 after also leading 36-17. Today, both New England and Green Bay are first-place teams. Wilbon, who had the more impressive win?
The Patriots. Simply because of expectations, Tony. I mean, one, we are still getting used to New England climbing back up the ladder to a place, obviously, where the franchise has occupied for more than 20 years. But even though they've occupied it that long, that slipped to the bottom, and watching Brady in the other uniform and now watching the Patriots come back, that was impressive to me. The Packers were impressive, but that's what we expect in Lambeau. We expect Aaron Rodgers to play that way, and we expect the Packers to do that thing. So while, you know, both of them, I know in my pool I had them both as double-digit winners in terms of confidence, I had the Packers higher. I just knew the Packers were going to beat, your Super Bowl pick, the Rams.
Yeah, no, I was wrong.
But New England, they're still with New England. They're still a, you got to show me again. They're showing us again.
You know, yeah, I would like to disagree, and I cannot disagree with you. I also think it was the Patriots. The Patriots had won five in a row, but I'm not sure they'd beaten any great teams in that five in a row. And then they had four games in a row coming up. They had Tennessee, they had two with Buffalo, and one with Indianapolis. So this is the beginning of that. That was the streak of games, Mike, that would show us if they were a true and real contender. And I think if they go 3-1 of those four, that they are a Super Bowl team. The difference between the Patriots this year and last year is the difference between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. Mac Jones right now, as a rookie, is a terrific player right now. In his last three games, Mike, he's completing 79% of his passes. He's got six touchdowns. He's got one interception. Belichick got the right guy. And you and I have talked about this. It's not just arm strength. It's your willingness to be coached, and it's your understanding about the limitations of those people around you. And Mac Jones appears to excel at those things. And the Patriots, their coaching staff doesn't care to be labeled as geniuses like some other guys. They're just in it to win. They're in it to win.
And Tony, and their defense, now, we can't ignore. That defense is playing well, and those guys got used to playing, most of them, with each other last season as well. And you mentioned Cam Newton.
Yes.
Tony, it's just sad. I mean, Cam Newton, I know
it's
he's going to apparently start again next week, but it's over. And it's not over because of, to me, anything he did. If it's over because he took shots for five
That's
or
right.
6 years. He absorbed
That's
punishment.
Right.
And there's only so much you can take. I don't care how great you are.
Let me get to Green Bay for a second, all right? I was wrong about the Rams. I was wrong about Matthew Stafford.
Not yet.
Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. He's better than Jared Goff, but he ain't Aaron Rodgers. Matthew Stafford has now had three straight games, Mike, where he's had a pick six. You know how many Rodgers has had in his whole career? When you get to three, stop counting, because it's three in his whole career. And I think Rodgers right now, he may not be immunized. I think he's the MVP right now. That's just
me. He may be, Tony. Let's move to college football, please, where Michigan not only beat Ohio State, they beat them down. The Wolverines rushed for 297 yards with Hassan Haskins rushing for five touchdowns. Tony, what does Michigan's win mean for Jim Harbaugh, the school, and even the college football playoff?
It's a huge win for Jim Harbaugh. He was 0-5 against Ohio State. He was very bad in big games while he was at Michigan. You cannot overstate how bad he was in those traditional big games in the Big Ten. So to beat Ohio State like this, to run right through them, to stifle an offense that just the week before against Michigan State was up 49-0 at the half. That's an enormous win for Jim Harbaugh personally. And afterwards, he said it feels like the beginning, which is an odd thing, Mike, for a guy who had already been a Super Bowl coach. He also took a shot at Ryan Day, because apparently a couple of years ago, Ryan Day said something like, maybe we'll hang 100 on Michigan the next time. And Harbaugh used that great old line from Ann Richards, right? Sometimes people who are standing on third base think they hit a triple. And what does it mean for Michigan? It means they're in the playoffs if they beat Iowa. I wouldn't be surprised, Mike, if in the next ranking they're two. I would not be surprised. Now, if they lose to Iowa, the entire Big Ten is out. But if they beat Iowa, they're in.
See, this is theory to you. Because, you know, I mean, the Big Ten doesn't mean anything to you. I know you watch probably more Big Ten than any other college conference except the SEC. It means nothing. Okay? It means nothing. Because if Jim Harbaugh goes out and loses to Iowa, as you have set up, it means nothing. It means he lost the big game of this season. It means he's 1-6, I think, against Ohio State. And he goes and he loses to Iowa. And, Tony, which I sort of expect. I think I was going to win that game.
Really?
The Big Ten championship
game.
Yeah, I do. And as you know, I pay complete attention to the Big Ten every single week.
And Northwestern.
All right?
Sure.
And but Northwestern, I can't be rational. Michigan, it was a great win. It's a great win. But you ask, what does it mean? It doesn't mean jack unless he goes out and sort of confirms it by beating Iowa. Because if he loses to Iowa, everybody in the state of Michigan except Sparty people, they're going to groan and they're going to go crazy and they're going to say, why did we extend this guy? And we've seen this movie before, Tony. You mentioned all the big games Harbaugh lost. There's another one waiting on him right now.
Okay. I mean, just to be technically accurate, you asked me what does it mean for Harbaugh.
All right. So I ask you.
And I want to mention, before we get out, I want to mention Auburn and Alabama, because that was a great game.
That was great.
And what that quarterback for Alabama did on the last drive with under 2 minutes to go 97 yards and make every third down play you're supposed to make. I thought Auburn would win that game all the way to the end. I thought Auburn would win. That was a tremendous game, right? Tremendous.
Tony,
just tremendous.
That quarterback, he looks like a little kid with a howitzer on his attached to his right shoulder.
That looked like
he can zip it. Oh my goodness.
That looked like a Heisman drive to me.
Wow.
That particular last drive. Let's stay with college. Lincoln Riley, the quarterback whisperer at Oklahoma, is at Oklahoma no more. He honestly denied he was not going to be the next coach at LSU because he knew he was going to be the next coach at USC.
Got that right.
Yeah. Wilbon, I'm asking you, what does Riley's move do for USC and the Pac-12, and what did it do to Oklahoma and the SEC?
It doesn't do anything. You got to win the games. You got to go. You got to out-recruit not just Oregon and Oregon State and the Arizonas and the Cal, Stanford, UCLA. No, you've got to win nationally, which we know that conference has been a struggle. And, Tony, wasn't Chip Kelly going to change the whole world in the Pac-12? How'd that go? Every time somebody's hired at a Pac-12 school, and some of these people are, certainly my friend Herm Edwards, it's easy for me to root for Arizona State anyway, because I'm there a lot here, right behind me. And I love Herm, and I want to see Herm win. But you can have great coaches come to schools where there's been success. I understand. There's nothing in the Pac-12, nobody that has had the success historically of Southern Cal. But, Tone,
it
doesn't mean anything yet. Because he's still got to, at some point in January, beat schools that over the last 20 years have been better positioned than USC.
So I'm going to take the other point of view on this particular issue. And maybe I'm guilty of overreacting. But I had Chuck Culpepper on my podcast this morning. He does such a great job writing about college football for the Washington
Post. He does.
And he called this move tectonic. And again, I may be overreacting, but I find myself agreeing with this. I think that Lincoln Riley is the total real deal. I know that he was 55-10 in 5 years in Oklahoma. He went to the playoffs 3 times. He's got 3 starting quarterbacks right now in the NFL, and 2 of them won the Heisman for him. I think he's going to keep all these great Southern California players in Southern California. I wondered if he said to Caleb Williams, do you want to come with me? But then I found out he'd already signed a kid to Oklahoma named Malachi Nelson, a five-star kid, and now that kid could just stay home in Southern California. Mike, because of the transfer portal, I believe that Lincoln Riley is going to change the outflow of all of these Southern California players. They're going to stay right there, and the Pac-12 is going to be a lot better, a lot better. What does it do to Oklahoma? I don't think much, because Oklahoma is a great football school. Oklahoma, USC, Ohio State, Alabama. It's a destination, but it's interesting. Lincoln Riley's the first guy to leave for another college coaching job at Oklahoma since 1946.
Let me ask you just a quick question. It'll take an answer quickly.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
How many did he win championships? You got him changing the world. You got him
zero.
Becoming Vince
I got him changing
Lombardi.
The Pac-12.
You got him becoming Jimmy Johnson at the very least. How many did he win where he was? How many? Tell me how many.
Zero. Zero would be the
much.
Correct answer. Zero. And also, it's not, you know who gets hurt in the U.S., in the SEC by this? This guy, Billy Napier, who all of a sudden is in agate type. Because him going to Florida means nothing compared to this guy going to USC.
You and Chuck have way overstated this.
Maybe, but I'm taking a run at this one. Coming up is Bruce Arians, overly confident after scraping by the Colts yesterday.
Let's see, Lincoln Riley and that quarterback Matthew Stafford out of Detroit.
What does
the addition of Max Scherzer mean for your Mets? The team of your youth. Now you can flip-flop and get off the Nats.
I know. No, it's a heartbreaker. I'm good with it, but it's a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Captain Morgan, part of Happy Hour.
It's mail time. Ordinary questions, extraordinary answers. Let me see what's first here.
Mail time!
Popping
New Jersey again.
Bruce Arians sees the Bucs win over the Colts as a turning point in their season. Do you?
No, I don't. I mean, they narrowly won a game against the Colts, who turned it over a preposterous number of times. Carson Wentz, even when he plays well, he can't get out of his own way. No, it was an entertaining game. It was a terrific game to watch, Tony. And I wound up clicking over to the game, not just waiting for Red Zone to bring me highlights. And, you know, I don't think Tampa's a great team. I mean, Tampa's a really good team. Look, they can get hot any moment. They can have a stretch, and it can go because Brady can do that. And that defense, which we're still waiting for, can also do that. Turning point, it was a nice win.
Yeah, I don't think it's a turning point. I thought the game was about Tom Brady reminding people that he was Tom Brady and reminding people that the Super Bowl trophy is still in his car. Because he got the ball with 3:29 to go in a tie game, and he went down the field, and they got a touchdown. I'll tell you this, the most thrilling thing all day yesterday was the kick return by Indianapolis after that touchdown. That guy almost broke it. That guy went 70 yards. That guy gave Carson Wentz like two shots at the end zone. Bruce Arians, this is just gas to me. This is just hot air. Let me just tell you, go to the glasses to give you their next.
He does
quite a bit of that. Their next six games at Falcons, Bills, Saints, at Panthers, at Jets, Panthers. They should go 5-1 in their next six. They don't need a turning point, Mike. They're where they were last year right now.
They're the champs.
They don't need it.
They need a turning point.
Yeah.
Now listen
That's
to
right.
him.
That's right.
That's
right. Here we go. Another question. Does it make sense to you that Max Scherzer agreed to a 3-year deal with the Mets?
Yes, because the Mets are just, they're gathering shiny new toys. Like the Lakers and like, who else? The Rams. So this is what your New York and your L.A. teams do. They have all the money in the world, and they gather shiny new toys. Now, I only care about your reaction, because the Mets, as everybody knows, were the team of your youth, and then you bailed
yes,
on them.
Yes, definitely.
You just bailed. You walked away. You
said, I moved to another place.
Give me a team where I live. Let me be a total homer.
30 years at another place, I
became be a homer. Let me be a homer right here with one of my gated communities, you know, out in Northwest D.C. So what are you going to do, big fella? This is the team
is so
of
tremendous.
Your youth. What are you
so
going to do?
So tremendous. And that somebody who actually lives in two different gated communities attacks me for living in a regular street. Here's how I feel. It's so much money. It's so much more money than anyone has ever got, any pitcher has ever gotten for, you know, per year. So you take it. I love Max Scherzer. I'm never going to root against Max Scherzer. This is not like Bryce Harper leaving with unfinished business in the same division. Max Scherzer gave the Nats everything he could, including a couple of Cy Youngs and a World Series. In a World Series. So that's fine with me. Though I would say he's 37 years old, and the last direct quote we heard from him was, "My arm is dead." All right? The owner of the Mets spends so much money. Does he get any return?
That's all he does.
Is this how it works with hedge funds? I don't know. Your friends are probably hedge fund guys. I don't know any hedge fund guys. But when they play next year in Nats Park, I will go to that game. I'll root for Max Scherzer to throw seven great innings, and then the Mets bullpen to implode
in
the eighth inning.
Don't try to weasel out of this. Are you going to have natitude? Or are you going to go back to your roots? What are you going to do the whole season? Don't give me when Max Scherzer pitches.
No, it's
declare
only
yourself
pitches.
Right now.
No,
be a man. Declare your position.
I'm a Nats fan. I am. Enough email. Let's take one last break, but I'm a Scherzer fan, too. Still to come, more bad news for the Cowboys ahead of Thursday night's game with the Saints.
And how should the Steelers feel about getting just popped and therefore swept by the Bengals? Oh, the Steelers. Goodness.
Scherzer was great here. Great. And
it's
unlike other pitchers with a lot of money, he gets the ball every fifth day and he goes. He doesn't go, "Hey, my arm."
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 33rd birthday, Russell Wilson. The Seattle quarterback gets a spotlight tonight as the Seahawks are here in Washington, D.C. to play the football team. The Seahawks are 3-7, and we're a long way from where letting Russ cook was their template for victory. Wilson is a 7-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champ. But since coming back from injury, Wilson isn't who he used to be. Seahawks are 0-2. They've managed just 13 points. Wilson has no touchdown passes and two interceptions. He wanted to leave Seattle over the summer and gave the Seahawks a list of teams he would go to. You wonder if there's any mutual regret that that opportunity was not taken.
Daryl Bevel should have let Russ cook at the one-yard line by just handing the ball off to beast mode. They'd have a second championship, Tony, a second Super Bowl, and it would change probably the way people look at Russell, 10, 15, 20, 40 years down the line. He's great, but an extra Super Bowl doesn't hurt.
Happy anniversary, Herschel Walker. On this day, 41 years ago, Walker set the national freshman rushing record at 1,616 yards. That record stood for 24 years until another athletic freak of nature, Adrian Peterson, went for 1,925 yards, though in two more games. Walker was so much bigger, so much stronger, so much faster than every other running back in college football. In their times, running backs like Walker, Peterson, Bo Jackson, and yes, O.J. Simpson seemed to be cut from a different cloth. Georgia won the national championship that season. That was the Bulldogs' last national title. They have two, 1942 and 1980, and maybe they add a third this year.
If they do, it'll be based around the defense, of course, Tony. Herschel Walker's the greatest college football player I ever saw. And I think you can make the case, I could, that he's the greatest college football player of all time.
He was great, great to watch. He really was. A melancholy trails to Lee Elder, the first black golfer to ever play in the Masters, a four-time winner on the PGA Tour and a Ryder Cup member, died at age 87. Elder's victory in the Monsanto Open in Pensacola, Florida in 1974 qualified him for the 1975 Masters, where he broke a racial barrier that existed subtly, if not institutionally. This past April, Elder was again back at Augusta to become the 10th honorary starter in Masters history. Augusta National Chairman Fred Ridley said, quote, "Lee, you have the honors." Elder wasn't physically well enough to hit a shot, and he took a seat to a round of applause, saying later, "That feels good."
Tony, I was glad that Lee Elder finally got that sort of celebration that I thought evaded him. It just wasn't there while he was active. We, you and I, have lived in the same place Lee Elder did for much, if not all of his life, and that's Greater Washington, D.C. He and Rose Elder, his ex-wife, they brought golf to Washington, and even if people weren't paying attention elsewhere, we were paying attention. I was paying attention. I got to sit and listen to the great Lee Elder, and there was a Jackie Robinson quality to part of his career, but not enough of it to me, but I'm glad to have gotten to know him.
Me too. Sat with him a couple of times. Very glad to have known him. Let's go to one omission. Your boy Tibbs says Kemba Walker's out of the starting lineup and the rotation. Whoa!
Big demotion.
Quick to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Bengals swept the Steelers, winning yesterday 41-10. Is that significant?
Tony, it feels like a changing of the guard in that division, in that region, but I don't know if I can trust the Bengals. Mike McCarthy tested positive for COVID, won't coach the Cowboys against the Saints Thursday night. Your thoughts?
Dan Quinn will coach, and if he wins that game, it's just going to renew the talk about Mike McCarthy. People are going to say, why is he the coach?
You know it is.
Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey now out for the season with a left ankle injury. Your reaction?
He's a great player, but he can't stay out there. He can't be healthy. It's just as sad. Marcus Semien, Corey Seager agreed to big deals with the Rangers. You surprised?
You think the Mets are spending money? These two guys are going to split $500 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. The owners are trying to win the war by making the players say, hey, don't go out on strike. There's money. Last one, the Warriors beat the Clippers last night. Your analysis?
Steph Curry. That's my analysis. You ever see a player give a referee a technical foul signal after hitting his shot? He did that last night. Great.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Now to get you set for Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culber and the Countdown Crew.
Finn, get better.